The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "In that day, you will not ask me anything. Amen, amen, I tell you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made complete. I have told you these things using figurative speech. A time is coming when I will no longer speak to you using figurative speech, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I am not telling you that I will make requests of the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Now I am going to leave the world and go to the Father." "Yes," his disciples said, "now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative language. Now we know that you know everything and do not need to have anyone ask you anything. For this reason, we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Now do you believe? Listen, a time is coming, in fact it is here, when you will be scattered, everyone to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not going to be alone because the Father is with me. I have told you these things so that you may have peace in me. In this world, you are going to have trouble. But be courageous, I have overcome the world." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Faith, what is it? Faith is expecting something, hoping in something, relying in something. It is not just the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is believed in. We have faith in all kinds of things. We have faith in our car, for example, that it will work. We have the expectation that when we go out to the car, we'll be able to get in it and turn it on and go wherever we want. But sometimes our expectations turn out to be wrong. We come outside and see that there's a flat tire. We turn the key and it doesn't turn on. It's nice when what we believe in turns out to be reliable. It's painful when what we believe in fails us. Cars are just one example. The fact is that we believe in so many things. If we were to conduct a poll, I suspect that most people would say that the last several years have not been too nice. Why is that? Is it because COVID has killed so many of our family and friends? I don't think that's the true source of our pain. What hurts is that the stuff that we used to believe in hasn't been working. We used to believe in the news. Now there's this camp's news and that camp's news, and the news sources say totally different things. We used to believe that we could get along with each other. But one person believes that this and that is true, while another person believes that those very same things are literally lies or conspiracy theories. It's like the Tower of Babel all over again. They came to not be able to understand one another or talk with one another. We can't understand someone from a different camp, and we don't want to work together. We're being driven apart. Our faith in the reasonability of one another has been broken. And other things are failing too. We used to believe that we could easily afford to buy gas. We used to believe the grocery stores would always be fully stocked. We used to believe that our elections would always be fair and free. It is painful and perhaps frightening when the things that we used to believe were so reliable that you could set your watch by them are going wonky. It's as though the sun and the moon and the stars are no longer following their normal courses. People are about to be fainting in fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the earth. Although it is painful to have our faith shattered in the things that we used to believe in, it certainly need not be the worst thing that could ever happen to us. Folks can use this loss of confidence for their eternal good if they quit believing in the things of this world and believe in the one true God. But not everybody is going to do that. The breakdown of things that we believe in can serve as a wake-up call. It can serve as a call to repentance, but it is certainly possible for people to hit the snooze button and go back to sleep. Although it is painful and disheartening and inconvenient and scary to have the things that we believe in break, this is by no means the worst of God's wrath. The Bible is full of examples of God sending painful, disturbing things even to his own people. These things can serve to turn people away from believing in created things toward the Creator. That is not bad. That is good. The worst of God's wrath is when he gives us what we want. What we want is to push the snooze button. What we want is for everything we believe in always to work. But all this other stuff that we believe in is not God. All this other stuff dies and decays and disintegrates. Even we ourselves. It feels good to believe in ourselves, but what is to become of us? We get old. The time we have on this earth grows shorter and shorter. All it takes is one disease or another, and we are gone. In the very midst of life, snares of death surround us. Nobody wants to believe that. The faith we have in ourselves and in other created things has to be broken against our will. That's always painful. So it's always tempting to turn away from the harsh reality, take a narcotic, and slip off back to sleep. But there is another option available to those whom the Lord God reveals himself. Those who are blessed to hear the good news, the gospel, they know the only true God. Not only do they know who the true God is, but they also know the will of this true God. It is God's will to redeem us, poor mortal sinners, by Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead. It is the will of this true God that all be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We are redeemed from death, and we will live in the new heavens and the new earth, the heavenly Jerusalem that was described in our second reading today. We are to see God. Everything else falters and fails. The one true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, will not let down the one who trusts in him. Eternal rest and perpetual light is what is given to the faithful departed. Knowing the true God, his revealed will, and the end point that is in store for those who believe in him is important. It's important generally, but it's important also for understanding what Jesus says in our gospel reading about prayer. If we place our hopes and our dreams in earthly things, then we are going to hear Jesus' words one way. If we learn to look for the things of the life to come, then we will start to hear them another way. We'll be hoping for different things. Jesus says concerning prayer in our gospel reading, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask and receive that your joy may be complete." As soon as we hear that, many things can come to mind. Ask in my name and you'll receive. Immediately, we probably believe that it can't be true. I'll prove it. I'll ask the Father to turn stones to bread, tacking on the magic words in Jesus' name. And when the stones don't turn to bread, we can see that this doesn't work. Immediately, we are prone to put the Lord our God to the test. Interestingly, the kinds of things that come to mind when we hear that anything we ask in Jesus' name will be given to us might be the kinds of things that we hear about in fairy tales or with comic book heroes. We think that it's like the genie from the lamp. Rub the lamp, make your request, and voila. Or we might think of superheroes with superhuman abilities. We can zap this or that and change this or that. It's easy to think that Jesus' name as being magical. Just say abracadabra, except you'll use Jesus' name, and then let your will be done. But perhaps you remember that Jesus resisted the devil's temptation in the wilderness to engage in magic. The devil said to Jesus, "You're hungry. If you're the Son of God, then command these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." The devil took Jesus to the top of the temple and said, "Throw yourself down, for it is written that he will command the angels to prevent you from striking your foot against a stone." And Jesus said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." The devil took him to a place where Jesus could see all the kingdoms of all the earth with all their power and glory and wealth. "Just bow down and worship me, and they shall all be yours." And Jesus said, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." When we hear that the Father will give us whatever we should ask in Jesus' name, we very quickly and easily slip into wanting to perform magic. It's in our bones. We believe that we know what is good and what is evil. What is good is whatever I desire. What is evil is whatever is against my will. So give me what I want, and let whatever I don't want be gone. The way that the devil tempted Adam and Eve was by telling them that God was holding out on them. God didn't want them to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because then they would be like God. If they would only take in hand this magical power offered in the fruit, then their joy would be complete. Then all things would be subject to their will. And ever since then, we have been infected with the desire to practice magic. Ever since then, by nature, in contrast, we have no desire to know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. By nature, we have wanted to make a paradise for ourselves by discovering and manipulating the things of this world to our own will. We believe in the things of this world. We want them to work for us and to work like clockwork. When we hear Jesus say that whatever we ask in his name, the Father will give us, it's very easy to want to test this out by asking for the things that would restore our faith in the broken things of this world. We still want to be gods. We want to bend everything to our own will. We want to zip and zap and harness the power of prayer and put it to work for us. It is not God's will, however, that we should replace him as God. It is not God's will that we should believe in ourselves or in our spiritual powers or in our faith or in the power of our praying. Those are idols. How could God want us to believe in created things, impotent, rusting, rotting idols, even very spiritual-looking idols, like my power of praying? We are to believe in Him and His good and gracious will. To pray in Jesus' name means that we are praying according to what Jesus has done and accomplished. Jesus did not die and rise and ascend into heaven in order to alienate us from God, in order to make us not believe in Him, but to believe in ourselves instead. He did not do what He did to restore our faith in the things and the experiences of this world. Jesus did what He did to show us God's will, that we should believe that God is for us and for our salvation, that we should believe that there is a place that is prepared for us, that has many rooms, and He'll come back to bring us there. By nature, we believe that it would be quite something if, by the power of our prayer, we could, without fail, remove someone's illness or move a mountain into the sea. There are much greater things than these. Much greater things have already been given to you. You maybe just don't realize it. You have been raised together with Christ. It is much greater that we have been justified so that the law, which otherwise cries out for justice against us, is silenced by Jesus' own righteousness that's given to you as a gift. Paul says of the heaven that is to come, that no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the imagination of the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. In Jesus' name, these greater things are yours. So we must not let magical thinking deceive us or mislead us into false belief or despair concerning Jesus' words. Jesus really means it when He says that whatever we ask in Jesus' name, the Father will give us. We are not thereby turned into gods or superheroes. We have already been made children of God. We have conquered death and every sadness. Neither death nor sadness can hold their grip upon us. We have an incredible future in store for us. That incredible future is already in this life as the Holy Spirit sanctifies us, and in the life to come when we will be completely holy. Asking God to forgive you for but one sin is of greater and more consequence than possessing the entire earth with all of its kingdoms. Although that is so great a thing, you know full well that God hears you and grants your prayer when you say, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." It seems to be standard operating procedure for the devil to tempt us with what is lesser in order that we give up on what is greater and better. The knowledge that He promised to Adam and Eve was much less and turned out to be a lie compared to what they had prior to that. Often the devil tempts us to reach out and grab what has not been given to us, ill-gotten gains in terms of money or sex or other things are supposed to make our joy complete. And the truth is that God has better things laid up in store for those who live according to God's will. Even in those areas of life that prove to otherwise be so tempting for us, God will purify and fulfill whatever kernel of good there is in even our lusts that harass us These are lying in wait for you. So the devil is lying when he says that you should obey him, and that obeying him is the only way that your joy will be complete. So when it comes to prayer, we are misled to believe that what is truly great would be to be a superhero, manipulating the things of this world. What is greater, however, by far, is the eternal rest and perpetual light enjoyed by the faithful departed. Jesus means what he says. Believe him, believe in the Father. Do not believe in yourself or your own magical powers. Ask the Father in Jesus' name and he will give it to you. The things that are good for you in this life and for the life that is to come. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.